Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning. We are here today without Pastor Steve. He is at, and I have just lost my place here. He is at the hospital being a good husband. So he's at the hospital with Becky. So we miss him today. We miss his singing. We will not have that today. Let me tell you. But anyway, we're going to miss him today. I was told I need to tell some jokes. I can't think of one to save my life. So sorry. But we will wish everybody, I know this is the first Wednesday of the month and we always have birthdays. I will not sing happy birthday to you either, but I will wish you a happy birthday if this is your birthday month. I know Dot's birthday was yesterday, so happy birthday to Dot. You might want to reach out to her if you didn't know that and wish her a happy birthday. And anybody else is this month, happy birthday to you. I don't have any announcements that I can think of, so we're just going to go ahead and get right into the Word today. I've titled it, What is Your Sign? Now, we're not talking about horoscopes here or anything like that, so just hang in there with me. But it's, what is your sign? You know, there are signs all around us. There are signs that tell us to stop, yield, merge traffic. There's mattress tags that tell us, do not remove this tag. And I really thought that that meant I could not remove the tag. And Brian one day asked me, do you think the mattress police are going to come and arrest you for removing the tag? So there are signs everywhere. Here's a picture of a sign. Correctional facility area, do not pick up hitchhikers. And this is a true sign. I have seen it. It is real. It's not a made-up sign. But, you know, we were in Waco, actually, one time, and we got lost, like is typical for Brian and I, and we're driving around this neighborhood, and it didn't look like a very up-and-coming neighborhood, I will tell you that. But I did notice a city sign, and it was a sign that was put up. You could tell it was an official sign, and it said, high drug traffic area. And I thought that was really odd. I had never seen anything like that before, but it really encouraged us to get out of that neighborhood. So there are signs everywhere that tell us what we need to do. There are also signs that something has happened in an area. Here's a picture of Chernobyl. Had a nuclear meltdown. It's just, a ghost town now. And that's just a sign that if you were to walk on that and you had no idea anything had happened there, you would quickly get the understanding that something had happened, even if you didn't know what it was, because there would be nobody there and everything's just abandoned. There's also flood. You can tell when a flood has happened. There's water everywhere. You can see even the damage that's left behind once the water's receded and everything. So you can tell when something has happened. You can tell when a fire happens. There's charred wood. There's, you know, things like that that make it obvious that a fire was there. So, you know, things happen that cannot be hidden. You just can't hide those things. You can't hide a nuclear meltdown. You cannot hide a flood water. And you can't hide a fire. It just can't be hidden. But before a fire even starts, there are signs of it. Have you ever walked into a room and thought, oh, I smell smoke. There's smoke somewhere. Or if visible smoke, if you see smoke somewhere where there's smoke, there's fire, that's usually true. And sometimes you can actually see the flames of the fire. But then you can definitely see the effects that it's had and that's the things that it's left behind. But, you know, your walk with Christ cannot be hidden either. We can't be undercover Christians, not if we're authentic. We just can't hide it. It just comes out. We can't, most people I know don't say, I'm just pretending to be a heathen. I'm really a Christian. Most people don't do that. So you have to, there are signs to Christianity in your walk with Christ. There are signs of that everywhere. One sign is your talk, the things that you say. You know, scripture says it like this. Matthew 15:18 says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And then one more, it says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. We don't want to have worthless religion. We want to make sure that what is in our heart is good, so that what comes out of our mouth is good as well. You know, James 3 also says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And it says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And that shouldn't be. We should not be doing that. Our words should be kind. Our words should be uplifting. You know, there are ways to say things when we're displeased with something, when maybe we go into an establishment and we get poor service. There is a nice way to make a complaint, and then there's a wrong way to make a complaint. So there's no reason to be hateful. There's no reason to be ugly to people. You know, I had a boss one time who, you know, he would talk, and he usually kept it businesslike, but if he got upset, some words would fly, you know, out. And then one day he was talking about small groups at his church, and I was shocked because I thought, you go to church? I never would have thought it. You know, it was just a shock to me, because his words and the things that came out of his mouth did not line up with him telling me he went to church. It just, didn't seem to be a heart difference there. I have an aunt who I dearly love. She's passed away now, but boy, she could curse like a sailor. And she would just, she was hilarious, but she would just let things, you know, fly. And if you ever brought up God or church or anything like that, she would quickly change the subject. She didn't want to talk about it. She would not even, she wouldn't tell you to be quiet, but she would change the subject so fast. You knew she wasn't comfortable with it, and she didn't want to talk about it. But she started going to church, and we started noticing some things. She never said, oh, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm saved now. Or there was never an experience that we knew of. But all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, actually gradually, she didn't start changing the subject when you start talking about God. She would actually interject and talk a little bit about that. And then we noticed she wasn't cursing anymore. She cleaned up her language. And so it was a gradual thing, but as God got a hold of her and started making changes in her life, her language and her talk changed as well. And you could start seeing that the things that were coming out of her mouth, you could tell that there was a heart change behind that. And so we really have to be careful with what we say. And it's not just cursing and stuff either, because, you know, there are people who always say negative things. Have you ever been around somebody who is always gloom and despair and agony on me? You know that old hee-haw song? Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And you get around these people, and boy, you're depressed. When you get away from them, you're just like, oh, man. And the bad thing is, some of these are your fellow church members. We've got to be careful what we have coming out of our mouth. We should be uplifting people. We should be encouraging people. We should be loving on people with our words and not bringing people down. Another way that we have a sign of our walk with Christ is our actions. How do we act? How do we put that out there? How do people see us acting? So James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. So many times we think, well, hey, we're in church. We're hearing the word. The preacher preaches to us every week. We know what the Bible says. Well, first of all, that's not enough. That's good, but that's not enough. You need to get in the word yourself and really know what it says. And you need to do what it says. So just knowing is not enough. You've got to do it. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So many times we just get polluted by the world when we shouldn't be. So I'm going to ask you some practical questions. I want you to think about it for a minute. When you go out to eat, Are you a good tipper? Or are you stingy? I mean, I know I'm meddling here, but let's just get down where we live. When we go out to eat, we need to, if we can afford it, give, you know, generously to these people who are serving you and doing a good job. And if they don't do a good job, you can kindly tell them that, you know, you would appreciate them doing a little bit better. That's okay. But, you know, give to others. My son used to work at CC's Pizza, and he said that on Sundays, you know, they would have the Christians. He said the Christians would come in dressed up from church and everything, and they would complain about everything. They would yell at management, and I'm sure not everybody, but the ones who did it gave the rest of us a bad rap. But they would just be rude. And then after they were rude and ugly and all of that, they would leave a track on the table to encourage them, you know, to accept Christ as their Savior. When in all actuality, if they had been acting right and showing the love of Christ, they wouldn't have even had to leave that track, because they would have seen Christ through them with their actions. So here's another question. If somebody gives you too much change at the grocery store or at the fast food place or wherever you are, do you tell them? Or you just take it as a blessing from God and leave? We need to tell them. We need to be honest in our actions. If you find something that doesn't belong to you, do you turn it in? Or you claim it as God's blessing to cover up your stealing it, basically? So it's just hard questions. You know, there are ways you can find people who have lost things. There's a Next Door app that most of our neighborhoods have. If you find something when you're in the park and there's nobody around and you have no idea whose this is or who to turn it into, at least make the attempt of finding them. Put it on the Next Door app. Say, hey, I found something in the park. If somebody has lost something of value, can you let me know? And then let them call and tell you what they lost. And if that's what it is, you return it to them. But, you know, make sure that your actions are honest and that you are showing Christ-like qualities in everything you do and your actions. So how you look. Now, I know you're going to say, well, I can't help how I look. And to a large degree, that is true, except for women who can put makeup on, and we can change how we look. Sorry, fellas, but we can. Luke 7:25 said, it was talking about John the Baptist, and Jesus saying, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. So, you know, people in palaces, you expect them to wear nice clothes. You see, when, you know, back in the day, Princess Diana always looked nice and had on nice clothes. You see the royals in England always look nice and have on nice clothes. And that doesn't mean we have to spend a lot of money on clothes. But you know what? Do you want to be around somebody who, like, doesn't bathe? Or who kind of, you know, we need to present ourselves well. We need to keep ourselves clean. We need to wear clothes that are modest and that don't show everything we have, and aren't so tight that it shows everything we have. So there's a way that we need to dress as Christians that we need, that's pleasing to the Lord, and we can do that. We just have to ask ourselves, is what I'm wearing pleasing to the Lord? And then what do you leave behind you when you've been somewhere? John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. So we need to leave something behind. I want to go back 1 minute, though, on how we present ourselves and how we look. And here is some really good advice. I forgot all about it, but I wanted to bring this out. Some really good advice from Phyllis Diller. So I know that you guys know who Phyllis Diller is. And this is really good advice for ladies looking for you a husband, okay? She said, always marry a man the same age as you, because as your beauty fades, so will their eyesight. And I thought that was very good advice. So I just thought I would throw that back out there. So what do you leave behind? On to the next one. What do you leave behind? We have to leave good things behind. When we've been in a room and you leave, how do you leave those people feeling? You know, there are people that I deal with every day who are come into our place of business who are sick and not feeling well. And inevitably, in any given day, the schedule's running behind or something has happened, and it makes people angry. So sometimes, though, people come to me and say, hey, I just wanted you to know this was my experience. I really don't appreciate, you know, this or that. And sometimes they can say, have you ever thought about this? And they may give me some ideas of how to improve things. They may, it's constructive criticism. They're there not just to tear me down and tell me how cruddy everything was, but they're also there to help. And I don't mind criticism because, you know, if somebody comes and tells me something's wrong, then I know it's wrong. But I don't always know it unless somebody tells me, so I can't fix it if I don't know it's broke. So I don't ever have a problem with somebody coming and complaining as long as they're not coming and being rude and ugly and hateful, because there's really no excuse for that. I had a patient yesterday who called me on the phone, and I could tell from the very beginning she was a kind lady. She just told me that she had some issues with her bill and she couldn't get anybody to help her, and so I was trying to help her with her bill. And at the end of the conversation, she said, you know, I'm just having all these problems, and I know doctors are good, but she said, I'm just going to claim a healing in Jesus' name. And I said, well, you know what? I'll claim it with you. And she said, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And then she says, you know what, Cindy? I appreciate you listening to me, and I appreciate you helping me. And she says, may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And she said, I'm going to be praying for you. And I thought, that just touched my heart, you know, because here's this lady who I've never seen that I know of. I've just talked to her on the phone. And yes, she had an issue, but she told me, she was so kind when she told me the issue. It was almost like it was a pleasure to hear her issue. It was a pleasure to get to try to help her because she was just so kind and sweet. But, you know, when people come in and they have an issue and they're cussing me out, I'm not quite as, I don't leave with a really good feeling. You know what I mean? Sometimes I am angry, and sometimes I, you know, I have to, you know, rein myself in, but there's just no reason for that. There's no reason to tear people down and to be ugly like that. I had a relative of mine, and I'm not going to say who he was because it would hurt people, but he was hateful. Hateful is the only word I can think of, actually, to say. I went with him one time to pick up his vacuum cleaner that he had put in the shop for repairs. And when he went in, there was this little teenage girl, and I was probably 12 or 13 myself, so it was a long time ago. There was this little teenage girl behind the counter, and so he said who he was, and I'm here to get my vacuum cleaner. And so she went back and looked, and she said, oh, I'm so sorry, it's not ready yet. And he just ripped her up and down. He was so hateful. He was so rude. I felt so sorry for this little girl who's just working the counter. I mean, she doesn't know how to fix the vacuum cleaner. She's just working the counter, you know? And I thought, I am never going to be like that. Lord, help me never to be like that, because there is no reason for that. And that does not show any kind of Christ-like quality at that time in his life. But that's something that we really have to be careful. How are we coming across, and what are we leaving behind us? What is the sign that we've been there? Is the sign that we've been there peace and comfort and encouragement? Or is the sign that we've been there division, hurt? You know, what are you leaving behind? Really think about what your actions are and how you're coming across to people. I have a gentleman that works for me as well, and he is just real quiet, and he doesn't say a lot. And so when he's helping the patients, they think he doesn't care. That's not the case, but it's just the way he comes across. And so we've had to have some conversations about, you know, I think you need to work on chit-chat. You know, how's your day? how are you doing? You know, is it staying warm out there, or is it too hot for you? Or, you know, just kind of chit chat with people and let people know that you are concerned about them. Let people know that you do care about them. And that really, really goes a long way. And you may not mean to be rude. You may not mean any of that, but just kind of pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth. Pay attention to how you're acting around other people and think about, okay, I just left that room. What did I leave in there? What's the sign that I've been in there? Because we all have signs that we carry around with us. So, in conclusion, I know this is short today because we didn't have singing or anything, but in conclusion, listen to yourself. Is your talk pleasing to the Lord? Pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. A lot of times, as humans, we just talk and we don't pay any attention to what we're saying. And then later on, we might be thinking about it and think, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or, ooh, I wonder if that hurt somebody's feelings. So just really listen to what you're saying. And then ask yourself, is my talk pleasing to the Lord? And then pay attention to what you do. Are your actions pleasing to Christ? Do they line up with His Word? You know, is your appearance pleasing to Christ? And then, you know, what are you leaving behind? What are you leaving behind with people? What are you laying on them? Because sometimes you can change the course of a person's whole day. That lady yesterday, I've been having a decent day, but that lady yesterday, after I talked to her on the phone, I had a better day after that. She just kind of lifted me up. And that's the way we should be. We need to leave that behind us when we leave somebody. It's just to lift them up and encourage them and not tear people down. So we're just going to take a minute to pray here over this, and then we'll be dismissed. So, Lord, we just come before You so thankful that You love us, that You care for us. Lord, we are to be an example of You in this world. We are to walk the walk and talk the talk. And I ask that You would help us to pay attention to our actions, to our words, to the way we, our appearance, everything, Father. Are we lining up with what You want us to do? Are we lining up in the path that You have for us? And are we leaving people with good signs when we leave? Are we leaving people with peace and comfort? Or are we leaving them with a feeling of yucky? So, Father, I ask that You just help us to pay attention to what we're doing. Help us, Lord, to be that representative of You that You want us to be and that You would have us to be. And, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to go forth in Your glory and walk in the path that You have for us. And, Father, I just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, think about that. Think about what you're leaving behind. What sign have you left behind that you were there? And just go forward in the glory and the peace of the Lord, and have a great week.